You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Renovate Life. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah 55:11. Had a couple holidays. We had Palm Sunday and we had Easter. So I'm going to read you a scripture that I read you a few weeks ago, because I don't feel like God is finished with this. Isaiah 55:11 says this: "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of thy mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in things where I send it." I told you the first time I read you this scripture that the Bible says that the word is rake in the Hebrew. It means to return empty, ineffective, or worthless. His word will not return empty, effective, or worthless. Mark chapter 1, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." In Luke 24, Jesus is about to ascend into the heavens. Verse 50, he says, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heavens. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Jesus is coming. No, let me just stop for a minute and tell you, the devil's going to try to keep you out of the house of God. He's going to try to keep you doing everything, any kind of busy work that he can keep you doing, because Jesus is coming back. He don't want you, listen, he don't want you to tell it, but your job as a disciple of Christ is to tell it. Amen? Let me tell you something else. 1 Corinthians 14:10. Whoever's back there, will you pull up Ephesians 2 and 2? I'll need it in a minute. I didn't put it on the scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. Now listen to what it's saying. There are, and it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. All voices you hear are significant, whether they be good or whether they be bad. You understand what I'm saying? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today I pray, Lord, that your continued presence move through this place. Lord, we have ushered in your power, Father. And Lord, even if we couldn't pray to you, God, your power is miraculous and mighty. But you gave us this thing called prayer that changes everything. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that our prayers are being answered. God, we thank you for the people sitting in the house and the people watching us online. But Lord, you're going to do a greater work in MacArthur. Father, I believe all these people sitting in this house are unified for what you're going to do. Lord, you're going to transform their life. You're going to change them, Father. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you fall on the community of MacArthur and of this city and Benton County itself, God. Lord, I pray right now in this room that you give people ears to hear, Father. And Lord, a heart that is open to your word, so that they may apply this word, they may learn from this word, and they may grow. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we lift you up. Lord, let the salvation fire of Jesus fall on anybody that doesn't know you. God, don't let them leave this place, Lord, stuck in the mundane, stuck in the spirit of this world. In Jesus' precious name, the church said, amen. Amen. Lord, help us. I feel the Holy Ghost. Several years ago, I do want to tell you, if you're new here, the first Sunday of the month, all the kids stay in with us. Okay. Several years ago, there was an article I read, and I ripped it out of the paper in the doctor's office. I folded it up and I put it in my Bible. It was a true story. It said this. It said a family was on vacation out west in Oregon. They wanted to have a picnic on the desert part of their hike. They hiked along this trail. They called it the main trail. All along the trail, there were signs that said in great big bold letters, "Do not leave the main trail." Don't take the side trails. As they went more and more, don't leave the main trail. Don't take the side trail. There are many side trails. However, in their vacation spirits, you know, when you go on vacation, you're excited. You've left all of your thoughts behind and all of your troubles behind, and you got a couple $100 to blow in your pocket, and it's just a vacation spirit. In their vacation spirit and their love for adventure, you know, the fun side of things, there was this one particular road that looked beautiful. And so because it interested them, they decided they were going to walk down this road. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful 78-degree day. So they took the side road. They walked back in there a couple miles, and out of the forest became this great big huge desert, sand everywhere in Oregon. It was beautiful. They walked a couple more miles. Suddenly, they came to one single tree in the sand that had broken over, a very large tree, and it overlooked a huge valley, sand. They said, we're going to have our picnic here. They opened up their backpacks. They laid everything out on the ground. They began to have a picnic. It was exciting. They were talking about everything that they were going to do on their vacation. And all of a sudden, when they started to close up their picnic gathering and they finished their food, a big storm arose. This storm started to blow and sway everything. This storm just came up so quick they didn't have time to do anything. The father grabbed the picnic basket and all of the stuff, and they got up under the tree to hide themselves and shield themselves the best that they could. The wind blew. The sand shifted and covered everything. And after about 3 hours, the storm subsided. There was no longer a trail. They had lost their road. The first night they stayed alone in the darkness of the desert. The sunny 78-degree temperature fell. When the sun came up in the morning, it was so baking hot that they dug the kids down under the tree. They dug a hole and put the kids up in there up to their necks to keep them alive. They had nothing to drink. They had to drink their own urine. And after 4 days of being there, a helicopter came in the middle of nowhere. He found them and they picked him up. And the medic said this, if we would not have found you today, you would have expired. They were taken to the hospital, and ultimately they were saved. I'm here to tell you today that we are on the main trail. We are on the trail that God has put before us. Don't get off the trail. Listen, sometimes there's banners and there's things that say, hey, come this way and do this. But I'm telling you, don't forsake what God has for you. Don't get off the main trail. Don't allow yourself. Listen, you'll never get back. You may never get back if you get off this trail, because the world is enticing. The trails are enticing. The lights and the glitter's enticing. But I want you to understand, you may never make it back to what God has for you. You understand what I'm saying? Why, Pastor? Because there's a shifting and a blowing. There's something happening in this hour. It has never happened in the 20 years that I've been doing this. I have never seen things the way they are before. You may be sitting here today because you've never seen things the way they are. Listen, we've always had perilous times. The Bible says you'll have perilous times. Everybody, every generation can say I've had perilous times, but I'm telling you, I have never seen it like I've seen it today. No matter how rough the ride is, listen, I've got myself in a chariot of revival. I really do. I've got to hang on this thing. And I want you to know that I will not let down. I will not relent. I'll pray if it's just me, my two boys, and my wife sitting here. Because I believe that God wants to do something miraculous. Not just in us, but in you and your family. I believe that there's a swaying coming. There's a shifting of the power of God. You don't have to leave the main road to get the power and anointing that you once felt. You remember years ago? See, we all always goes back to years ago. Years ago, I felt the power. Years ago, God moved. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, you may have to stand alone, but do not leave the main trail. We've got to get a hold of Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm going to ride this thing. I'm going to hold on tight. He may beat me to death because I may not be good enough, but I'm not going to let go. I will never let go of Him. He is my might. He is my dominion. He is my power. He is my strength. He's my mercy and my joy. He's my great. Is He yours? You understand what I'm saying? We've got this thing. We've got it. This Christian thing is not just some religion. It's the power of Jesus, and we've got it. You got it. You got it today. You've got it. I don't care what anybody else thinks. You know, I'm at that point in my life where I don't care what people think. Well, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else does. Mr. Martin, I got it. I got it, and I want people to know. He healed me. He transformed me. He made me whole. I may not have been standing here before you without him, but I'm telling you today, he has changed my life. I got it. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me. It's as real today to me as it was when I got it. I made up my mind I'm going to serve him. Listen, the beginning of this year, I was laying in the bed and I was sick and I couldn't get out of bed. And God spoke to me and I told him this: I will preach this thing if I've got to preach it to the squirrels in the backyard, because I've got the truth. Listen, I've got his, I got his power. I got his anointing. You've got his power. You've got his anointing. And you can see today that there is unification in the house of God. And God is moving. Boy, some of you are going to need an out-of-band today. I'm preaching this message, not a watered-down message. This message was good enough to get me saved, so I'm not going to preach another message. I'm going to preach the power of Jesus. I'm going to preach that heaven opens and touches us. I'm still going to preach that he makes us whole. I've got it. I've got it. Do you hear me? You've got it. Oh, it was good enough to keep me. It was good enough to save me. It was good enough to change me. It was good in my mind. Satan wars in the mind. That's what the Bible says. In my mind, when Satan comes after me, I can throw him out. You know why? I've got it. You've got the power. You've got the anointing. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus, and he will make you whole. So, don't leave the main trail. This message is free today. The Bible says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I hear you quoting it. You know it. I'm free of all of this religious stuff. That's why in this congregation, there's ex-Mormons, and there's ex-Catholics, and there's ex-a-lot of things in this room. You know why? Because this is better. What we got is better. It's better. It's better. It's better. Listen, there's ex-hippies and ex-junkies and ex-prostitutes and ex-whoremongers and ex-adulterers and ex-drunks. Why? Because it's better. It's better than anything the world can manufacture or produce. He is better. Oh, it's better. It's better. It's better. Praise him a little longer. Praise him like you don't care. Yes. Hallelujah. Some of you think, well, this is too loud. I'm loud at a football game. I'm loud at a basketball game. Shoot, I go to the girls' volleyball games, and when they're, maybe not if they're not winning, but when they're winning, I'm cheering, and I'm screaming, and I'm excited. Well, why can't you get excited for Jesus? He saved my soul. It's better than anything I've found, and it's in the house. You can't get this anywhere else. You got to get it in the house. It's here. It's here today. It's here for you. It's flowing in the place. I'm telling you right now, Jesus has touched and transformed people all across this place. And just in a little while, I believe that God's going to create miracles in the house. Listen, you know why we don't talk about that anymore? Because we are afraid that if we say miracle and God does not provide the miracle that we have, it's going to mess with our, it's going to mess with all of the things that we think we are. We think that people like us, and we think that we're special, and we think that, well, if that happens, people are going to have a different opinion of me. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care about people's opinion of me. I want you to know that he is a healer, he is a transformer, and he will make you whole. I've got it. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping us alive. Listen, we just want to throw a log on the fire and let it get the fire about to hear. I'm saying this, throw all the logs on the fire. Let that baby burn. Let it consume us. Let it transform. I don't just want a little bit of Jesus. I want all he's got. You understand what I'm saying? I want him to renew me and to change me and to transform my life. Is that what you want? Oh, God, I don't think I can live this the way this pastor's talking. You're right, you can't, neither can I. But you know what? Jesus Christ made us whole. And listen, I've got it. You've got it. You got to hold on to the sounds of heaven. He is great and he is mighty and he is worthy to be praised. I've got it. Isaiah 40:3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now that was in the Old Testament. John reiterated it in the New Testament. In John 1:23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. I've got to tell you, there are sounds all around us. Voices and murmurings, media and news, TV, Facebook, Instagram, voices. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of persuasions, little voices and big voices, powerful voices, weak voices, treacherous voices, true voices. Your head's spinning right now. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in times past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Voices are everywhere. Satan is controlling the voices that you hear. Now listen to me, because I want to teach you something biblical. There are 5 major voices that speak to us out of the Word of God. The first voice that you will hear is the voice of the flesh. It speaks to us, and it's the first voice. It's the powerful voice. The second voice is your human spirit. It has a voice. The third voice is your soul. Your soul has a voice. The human spirit is really the breath of God. Hear me well. And the human spirit recognizes the spirit of God when it comes in contact with the spirit of God. That's why somebody that doesn't know the Lord, when the true anointing of God is on them, it causes them to cry. It changes their disposition. The atmosphere around them changes. Why? Because every mother's child was made by him. And so because we're made by him, when the true anointing falls, our human spirit responds to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your soul has a voice. That's why sinners and people off the street will come into our services and their human spirit recognizes the breath of God. It's the breath that made them. It's the breath that allows you can't breathe without him. You understand what I'm saying? The atmosphere is filled with the breath of who he is. We call it oxygen, but it literally is the breath of God. Help me, Jesus. That's why they'll hang on every word. Their hands, when they come in and they don't know the Lord, they'll squeeze on the back of the pew until their knuckles turn white. They don't know what to do. They recognize the Spirit of God because it's the spirit of the human spirit. The soul of a man has a voice. Lord, help me. That's why preachers almost have to burn alive right before their eyes. Oh, God. The human spirit can get to a place because these preachers have burnt alive before you to where it can touch God. Because a lot of times when we don't experience him and we don't pray and we don't read and we don't fast, some of you probably don't even know what fasting is, but it's a biblical concept. God begins to pound against our flesh. He begins to pound against our human spirit, pounding and pounding until there's a crack. The reason that one can come to devastation, sickness, and brokenness of body is because God sometimes is an answer to prayer, or he sends an answer to prayer because of the family's prayer. And so it breaks that human spirit down. So that God can get in, begin to work. He begins to pound the flesh like a hammer until the human spirit gets out. That's why you have to have the anointing of God. There are churches everywhere that just come to church and there's a program. But when you have the anointing of God, the Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. I remember things I've not thought about for years. Back then, you know, we were just a little church doing little things. It's like the voices from the beginning is crying out to me in my ministry. I grew up in Wellston, Ohio. Even as a kid, I seen miracles of God. I don't know why that it took me so long to get back to him. I don't know why I ran from him for so long. Some of you may be able to say that I ran from him. I didn't want nothing to do with him. But I'm telling you this. When I got saved, he transformed my life. He has healed me and touched me and done so many miraculous things in my life. All I want to do is tell you about it because I got it. When we first got here, it took years for God to work. When I first started pastoring, we went to a sister's house. She was Mormon. She told us that she had this figurine that the Mormon church had given her, and she had blood cancer. And she would pray, and God, I'd almost forgot about these things, but I write things down. I pulled out this journal that I had the other day. As a matter of fact, it was behind a thing in my office, and I pulled it out, and I began to read things that I used to write a lot more, Mark. I used to tell everything that God had done, and I found it the other day, and it was all crumpled up, and I started to read it. And this lady, she said this was probably the first miracle that happened at our church, but I didn't know any better then. I was a young pastor. I didn't know. Anyway, she was in Gallipolis, Ohio. She was at the doctor. She called me one night and said, I want you to come pray for me. And I said, okay. This is what happened. When we got there and she told us the story, she said, I was at Holzer Hospital. I think she said she was on the fourth floor. They had diagnosed me with this and they said there was nothing they could do for me. She said, I had this little figurine that the Mormon church had given me, about 3 inches tall, and it was a figurine of St. Peter. And she said, every time I prayed, I would hold on to that figurine, and I would pray. And she said, one night they come in and they said, ma'am, there's nothing that we can do for you. There's nothing that we can do to help you. You're just stuck this way. We're going to let you go home. And she said, they left the room. They closed the door. She asked them to turn the lights out. She was sitting there in complete darkness, except for a little nightlight up behind her bed. She said she fumbled around in the drawer and pulled out that figurine of St. Peter because she heard that Jesus was a healer. And she held onto that figurine and she began to pray with everything that she had. Every Mormon prayer that they had taught her. Everything that she knew to pray. And she said when she was done, she didn't feel a bit different. And she got upset. She said, I got furious and I threw that thing against the brick wall over in the room. And she said it smacked and broke in half and slung across the room. And she said, and about 15 seconds later, my lights flipped on. And she said, I thought, I'm not even going to get any sleep tonight. Those nurses are going to be in and out and in and out. And I'm going to tell them, I'm going home in the morning. You leave me alone. And she said, as I looked through my window, because there was a doorway or a wall out there, she said, the light got brighter and brighter in the window. She said, I tried to tell everybody there, but nobody believed me. She said, as the light got brighter in the window, she said, it was like this light stepped across into my room and walked up to me. She said, when I was talking to the nurse that came in later, she didn't believe a word that I said. And she said, I couldn't see a face, but there was a figure. And she said, I said, who are you? Because I was scared to death. And she said, this light spoke to me and said, I am Jesus. And she said, I reached out to grab him. And I began to pray. She said the next morning, the doctor came in and said, I want to do one more test because we're going to send you to the James. She said, so he brought me in, took all these tests. And she said, it come back. And the doctor come in the room, said, I'm going to have to take you to more testing. She said, why? He said, you have no cancer. You've been completely healed. God has transformed your life. She gets home. Oh, no. You don't understand. My God is a healer. I've got it. You've got it. She said she gets home. Now listen, I don't care if you believe it or not. She went on to be with the Lord now, but she didn't care either. She called in the middle of the night. Well, it was like 8 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. This is my part of the story. For months, we had been working at the church. We were getting ready to change the name. I'd been here a year. God was speaking to me. We were up to about 35 people. Angie, that was amazing. We started with 12. We could barely pay the bills. We're asking people for extra tithing. We don't care that God said 10%. We need 25. We're trying to pay the bills. They set up the phone system at the church. And I was so excited because the sales rep that was there, you know, these sales reps will get you every time. He said, this system is so amazing because it'll call right to your phone. I said, great, we want that one. Okay, so we can't afford it. We want that one. We had every technical person that you could get. Every person. There was people from the internet company that came. There was people from Verizon that came. There was people from AT&T that came. Everybody trying to get this to ring to my phone so that I didn't have to come to the church and check the messages. It never worked. As a matter of fact, today, it still does not work. But that night at 9 o'clock, the phone rang. I picked up and said, hello? She said, is this Grace Baptist Church? I said, no, ma'am, it's not. She said, before I could hang up, because I thought it was the wrong number. She said, I've looked on my cell phone, and I called Grace Baptist. I don't know how, but I've called Grace Baptist. How am I calling you? I said, I don't know. I'm so sorry. Have a good night. She said, wait. I said, okay. She said, will you come pray for me? And she began to cry. I go there. Me and one of the guys at the church go to pray for her. When I get there, she said, you don't understand. She said, when I Googled that on my phone, she said, I had heard things about you and I had heard things about that church. So I scrolled past it 2 pages. And she said, I clicked. She said, I had to click to go to the next page and click again to go to the next page. And she said, when I called that number, it was you. Because that's how God works. And she was healed, and she began to tell everybody, and it was a miraculous thing because God is a healer. I want you to understand that the past is screaming out. The past is speaking to me. Let me tell you another story. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. There's no excuses, first of all, for us not to have revival. There's not one excuse. This message works. You don't need another message. Oh my God, this message works. It works. Let me continue. The fourth thing, Satan speaks to us. The fifth thing, God speaks to us. Now, for the sake of this illustration here today, and for that sake only, I guess, I want to tell you that, let's say that you pulled out of this church your family. And you pulled out and you got down the road and you were in a severe car crash, a collision. It was terrible. Everything was messed up. You were flipped upside down and you were pinned in. You're bleeding, and for all you know, you're going to die. Your flesh will say to you, it's the first voice that speaks to you. Help yourself. I'm talking to you today. You're in pain. Try to get out of this situation. That's the first voice, the voice of the flesh. The Bible says it's the sarkikos, your mind, your will, your emotion, your seat of personality. The second voice, the human spirit, will say, help your loved ones, help your wife, help your boys and your girls, help your daughter, your grandchildren, your friends, help them. And then your soul will speak to you. And they'll say, help everyone lying in this wreck that is hurt. But then the voice of Satan will speak to you. He is going to look at you and say, see what God allowed? See what you went to church this morning, but now you're in this position and you're in pain and you may not live and you're stuck here. See what God did to you? But then the voice of the Lord will speak. And he'll say, I'm going to take care of you. Don't you worry. Don't you be afraid. You may feel pain, but I will keep you. I will direct you. I will guide you. I will be with you. Amen. Because the voice of God can be the loudest voice in your life. Satan is going to come with a loud voice. The flesh is going to come against you with a loud voice. The human spirit will come with a loud voice. But when God speaks, it's a different sound to your voice. God will help you. God will direct you. God will be with you. I'm going to be with you, he says. That's the third voice, the fifth voice. I will make a way. He's made a way for me. I don't know about you, but he's made a way for me. He changed my life. He fixed me when nothing can fix me. And this voice of God will speak to you. These five voices will speak to you. I have to tell you. These five voices are screaming out to us every day, every day, every day that we live. You know, when I first got saved, I had this draw to the gifts of the Spirit. I thought it was the greatest thing, discerning of spirits. I would read through all of those things, discerning of spirits. I thought it was really cool. I thought I could be somebody if I had discerning of spirits. I could learn these things and it would make me somebody special. You know what I mean? It was a draw. I was stupid. And I would read through the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't know, they're found in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1, or 4, Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Anyway, I would read about these gifts. Lord, give me discerning of spirits. It sounds intriguing, doesn't it? It's a mystery. It's something that'll give you power. I thought all these things, Jack. It sounds influential. I'm a discerner of spirits. I prayed for months. I mean, morning, noon, and night, every day. I prayed about it. Lord, give me discerning of spirits. Help me to have discerning of spirits. I didn't know what I was asking for. And one morning, I got up. And I'm telling you, something had changed in me. God had given me this gift. I didn't know what it was, but I went to in Hamden to the pit stop. Anybody remember the pit stop? It's closed now. It's been closed for years. I went in there, and I don't know. I was probably getting a milk and a beef jerky. And I went in there, and when I got in there, everybody that was in that store, probably seven or eight people, stopped and looked at me. But I was young. I didn't know. And I thought something was wrong with me, and to the best of my ability, I stopped to make sure I had everything. Did I wear my pants? But I want you to understand that was not me, that was the God in me. All day, every day, for weeks and months, I had prayed, God, give me discerning of spirits. Help me to be discerning. And God answered my prayer. You can call me crazy, but now that I have the understanding and I can flow in the discernment, I can discern spirits. There are spirits sitting in this room today. Now, you can call me goofball and you can say I'm crazy, and that's okay. I am crazy. But I'll tell you this, I'm not crazy like you think. I'm crazy for Jesus. But listen, when you go and God gives you a gift, they're gifts, they're free to you. When you pray for them, He will instill, He'll give them to you. You understand what I'm saying? But I want you to understand, you better know what you're praying for, because I was ignorant. I didn't know what I was praying for. But when you walk into the place, you ever met those people that will walk into the, I wish I was one of these people. They walk into the place and they change the atmosphere of the room. You think, who is this cat? I would love that. But I was so unnerved by all those people looking at me. I went home and I thought, Lord, what is it? And God spoke to me and He said, I have given you something. And all those spirits aren't going to allow you to walk in the room and not be disturbed by it. Listen, the same spirit that I have, you have. The Word of God tells us that. Listen, we should be disturbing spirits when we walk in the room. Pastor, I don't like that heebie-jeebie stuff. Just tell me that Jesus saved me and send me home. I can't do it. I need you to know that there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power that transforms you and makes you whole. It'll change the operation of what you do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Listen, I don't want to, when I go to a revival and preach and people are healed and transformed, I don't want to go to a restaurant and eat unless I'm with 10 or 12 people. You know why? Because when I go in there by myself, everybody looks and thinks, what is this crazy person? I'm going to tell you another story. Now, let me just go ahead and just make myself as crazy as possible. We went into the Mexican restaurant in Grove City. This has been about 6 months ago, right before I had surgery. We went into a Mexican restaurant in Grove City with my pastor, and there were some other people. We had a board meeting, and we went in there, and the pastor began to say hallelujah and praise Jesus, and they were just in the foyer, and I came in behind him, and I said, woo, praise Jesus. That's exactly what I did. I was just messing around, you know, being goofy me, and all of a sudden, all these people started to say hallelujah, praise Jesus. They were in this room in the other side, and the prayer broke out right there with about 13 people. And this lady, this Mexican lady, was behind the desk. You know, we were supposed to be saying we need 4 or 6 or whatever, but instead we were praying, and she got real nervous and she ran to the back. And she came out, and the manager or the owner or whoever he was, this guy, come out, and he said, what is going on out here? And my pastor that was with me, he said, we're praying to Jesus. And he ran up and grabbed him and said, I need that. That's exactly what I need. That's what I need. And he began to cry, and we grabbed a hold of him and we circled around. You don't think God can still move in today's society? He moves every single moment that we live. He don't care if you're Mexican. He don't care if you're black or green or yellow or white. He is the same God for all of us. And he came to heal, and he came to deliver, and he came to transform. God help me. You have discerning of spirits, or you can get it. You know what my prayer is? That after this service today, you walk into restaurants all over this town. And you begin to pray. You know, a lot of times my family don't want to pray over meals when we're out in restaurants because it's awkward, isn't it? Let's be honest. You got this guy over here cussing and throwing a fit and doing this and saying this about his kids and telling them to shut up, and you're just trying to say, Lord, bless my food. You know, I don't make me fat. Let these be heavenly carbs. It's Sunday, Jesus. But we're worried about what people think. Are you worried? I am. It's awkward. I said, we were at the restaurant the other day. I said, Luke, praise him. Cody's with us. I said, Cody, praise. She said, no. Wyatt said, dear Heavenly Father, right now. Boy, if we had that faith. If we just had that faith. If you would just think about, most of you are going to go eat today. Just think if you walk into the restaurant and you just say, God, I ask you to touch this Big Mac value meal, supersize this baby, Lord. And I pray right now that you touch every person in this place. Lord, the people that don't even know I'm praying for them. Lord, you touch the worker that's got an issue going on and they don't know I'm praying for them. God, I ask if heaven falls on them. What would happen in MacArthur? What would happen? That is my prayer today. I'll tell you, if you'll shake your faith just a little, God will begin to move. If you'll get outside your comfort zone in a restaurant or at the gas station. Do you know how many people I pray for at the Campbell's? I told you, I hate to go in there. I go in there for a box of cereal. I'm in there an hour and a half. You know why? Because you got it. People want what you got. You've got it. It's Jesus. I've got it. I've got it. And listen, when you pray for them, it'll change their life. You want change? You begin to pray. You want something out of your life? You begin to pray. Prayer is what changes everything in the atmosphere. Lord, help me. I have no idea where I'm at. Things I have remembered lately that I've almost forgotten. Several years ago, I was going through TSA at O'Hare International Airport. And I am military age, middle-aged male. And every time I get detained. Now, some of you have been on planes with me. Every time they get me. Every time. And I know what's going to happen. I strip down just to about nothing. People look at me when they go with me. Why are you doing that? Just take your shoes off and let's go. I know it's going to happen. They put me in this room. And there was this guy sitting there real proper. Jewish fellow, about 30 years old. We sit there real awkwardly for about 10 minutes. I said, where are you from? Because I'll talk to anybody. I said, where are you from? He had this sharp accent. He said, I'm from Israel. I said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I had to travel for work. I said, I was in the military and I just got out and I got a new job. And everywhere I go, I get stuck. I said, me too. He said, what are you here for? I said, well, I'm worried because I got to get home. I've got to preach Sunday. He said, preach Sunday? I said, yeah. He said, where you preach at? I said, MacArthur, Ohio. You ever heard of it? He said, no. It got real quiet for a minute, and he said, you know, I said, so, like, are you Jewish? Like, you know, like Jewish, like Israeli Jewish? And he goes, yeah. Like, he probably thought, what a goof. And I said, yeah. Or he said, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, can I ask you a couple questions? And he said, yeah. He didn't know the questions I was going to ask him. I said, so, listen here. I'll never get it back. That was not part of my message. I told you Satan fights. Anyway, I said, you know, that's what that is. Because I said, do you believe that Jesus was a man? And he said, yeah, that's all. That's all that we believe he was. He may have done great miracles, and he may have done good things, but we're waiting for our Messiah. Well, guess what I did? I started to talk, trying to convince him of who Jesus was. And it went on for about, now I was in this room for 35 minutes, and why I'm talking to him thinking, God, I've got to go. My plane leaves in 15 minutes. And I'm stuck in TSA. I'm stressed out. I need to get on the plane. No, I knock on the door. We're locked in this room. Now, we could have climbed over the top because it was a cubicle. I was planning it. And I thought, I said, do you know Jesus heals and he saves and he delivers? And I went on for probably 10 or 15 minutes and he didn't say a word. And finally, it got real quiet because I thought that this guy's not going to listen to what I'm saying. He said, he began to cry. And he said, if your Jesus is who he says he is, he said, I killed a man in the war. He said, I was a lieutenant. I didn't get involved, but he said, but our unit became overran. And he said, they had blown out all of the windows and there was an enemy that come against us. And he said, all I had was a pocket knife and I had to kill him or be killed. He said, I know he was my enemy. I know he was. But he said, I've never been right since. And he said, and you could tell once he told me this, I was like, yep. He said, blood went everywhere, everywhere. And he said, it was all over my hands, it was all over my face. He said, I have to buy special creams because I wash my face constantly. I constantly am washing my face and I can't get the blood off me. And I mean, by this time, he's in just total tears. I'm remembering these things. These things are crying out to me. I forgot about it. And he's in total tears. And I believe the Lord sent me to him that day. I know you can call me crazy all you want to, but I said, listen, I said, you're trying to get that blood off your hands and you'll never get it off your hands. The only person that can take that away is Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something else today. Listen, there is a blood that will never leave you. His name is Jesus. He died for your sins. He has applied that blood to each one of us today. And he wants to transform you. He wants to make you whole. Listen, I'm not into being a better you, but I will tell you this. He will make you a better you because when he is in you, you are the byproduct of who he is. You following what I'm saying? Now, I know I have a goofy way of telling you, and I've tried to change the way I tell you. I would like to be like all those fancy preachers, but I'm not. I'm just Jim Bob. Can you imagine dealing with that? I think often of how I should have got his number and say, how are you dealing with things? I don't know that he got saved that day, but I do know this. When he put his hands in my hands and we begin to pray, I felt the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid to do those things because God will reward you for it. There is a blood that saved a life, my life. And because he saved my life, I want to do everything I can to declare who he is. You get what I'm saying? You'll get results if you preach truth. You'll get results if you declare who he is. You'll get results. Let me talk to the young people today. I don't know if you're in college. I don't know if you're going to college. I don't know if you're in high school or where you're at, but I will tell you this. If you take Jesus to those high schools and you give them truth, they won't be able to stop your result. They won't say anything about your result because he is real and he is holy and he is righteous. If you go running in and tell them who he is, God will show up and transform the lives of everybody around you. Don't go dumb yourself down for them. Raise yourself up for Jesus Christ. God help me. You'll get results. Tell everybody you know.
Preach it from the rooftops. Declare it. Listen, you don't have to yell and scream and act like a nut like I do. Listen, I believe. I believe in just a few minutes, we're going to have an altar call. People are going to be healed in this house. I believe it. The anointing is building. Your faith is building in the house. I believe it. There's an overflow of the Spirit of God right now. It's a spirit of goodness in the place. You have the heart of God right now. Don't allow God to leave you. Listen, begin to pray. God, what do you want? If there's somebody next to me, Father, and they need healing, I pray right now you're healing all across the house. I pray healing. I pray your power and anointing. In a few minutes, we're going to have altar call. I promise you, God may have already healed you, but listen, I want you to say, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. The sound of heaven is screaming, I got it. The voice is louder than politics. The sound of heaven is louder than anything else in your life. The voices are crying out. They're crying out. We've got to have it. In 2018, I was ministering a five-night revival in Florida. I'm actually going back there soon. The pastor had asked me, there was great results. A lady was healed of lung cancer that night. The pastor said, there is this group of people, and they're over close to the church, and I want to go pray for them. They're homeless. There's kind of a rock there, and they lay under the rock face. They've got some tents. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not want to go. We went over there, and they all kind of gathered around. We had food and stuff, and there was this lady sitting there. And she was in a broken wheelchair. And when I say broken, the two small wheels on the front of the wheelchair? That's all the wheelchair had. It didn't have the great big wheels that you wheel them around, but it was kind of cocked sideways, and she was sitting in it. And we began to pray. After a while of being there, I thought, you know, these people just don't really want us to be here because they didn't act like they wanted to be there. You know, I don't know if you know a lot about homeless people, but they don't want you in their area. And so we began to pray, and we asked them, can we pray with you? She didn't sit with everybody else. She was kind of away from the pack, and I went over there. I felt the Lord wanted me to pray for her, and I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yeah. And of course, the pastor came over, and we began to pray, and she said, I've got MS, and I've been an alcoholic for years, and this MS has taken over my life. I can't hardly stand. And I said, well, let's pray for her. And we prayed, and not one thing happened, and we went home. The next night of revival, she showed up. She was there. She came to the altar. She knelt down at the altar, and we began to pray for her. She was shaking when she got there. I mean, shaking almost uncontrollably. And she said, this issue has overtaken me, and I don't know what to do about it, and I need some help. And she knelt down, and we began to pray. Now, I'm talking like real prayer. Because I believe that real prayer, people know the difference in real prayer and just a prayer to get them out of the way. And right then, as she was holding my hand, she stopped shaking. And I believe it's because you've got it. I've got it. She stopped shaking. Listen, she got up from it. We didn't know that all she had was a broken wheelchair. She didn't even have a tent. She was sleeping up under that rock with a blanket that the Salvation Army had given her. And she got healed. I mean, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said she was healed. See, listen, a lot of things we don't have medical evidence for, but we got medical evidence for that. And she was transformed, and she came to the leadership conference the next morning with pen and paper in hand, and she was different, and she helped the ladies wash dishes. She said, I couldn't have done this. Oh, I've been healed. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I don't have troubles anymore. I've been healed. She told it till she was hit by a car 6 months later and killed. And I want you to know she preached Jesus until the day she died. Do you know why? Because when you get it, there is nobody that can keep you from telling it. I've got it. Say, I've got it. Oh, I've got it. I've got it. There's great power in the house today. Listen, today's challenge is this. You got to get out of the mundane, get out of everything that grandma or grandpa has taught you. You got to get a hold of Jesus right now. I can't preach you happy, and I can't preach you sad. I can't even preach you to salvation. It's the Spirit of God that draws you. So right now, I believe great miracles are going to happen all over the place. I've got it. I've got it. Do you got it? Everybody stand with me. If there's somebody playing music you can play, right now is the time to call upon Jesus. Lord, I need you right now. I need your touch. I need your strength. I need your power. There's people already in here today that have said, I need a prayer cloth or I'm going to pray. Listen, we're going to pray over some prayer cloths.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.